Welcome to the Word Podcast. The Lord God has given us His Word. Let us learn it. Let us live it. Let us rejoice in it. Spread the Word.
Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We continue in the letter of Philippians that Paul wrote to the church of Philippi, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And we're in the third chapter, and we've looked at the first portion of the third chapter. So let me go back and reread that again to set the context. Remember what Paul was saying. Let me see. I'll read from the ESV today. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me, and it's safe for you. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. Now, the ESV says, look out. Everything else I've got up here on my computer screen, the King James, the New American Standard, the Lexham, I'll say, beware, beware, which carries a little more weight, I think. So he tells them to beware of the dogs, beware of the evildoers, beware of the false circumcision, those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. So again, he's describing who the true circumcision is. And it's those who are truly born again. They are the true worshipers by the Spirit of God. They are the ones who glory in Christ. They do not put their confidence in the flesh. Now, people will say, well, we don't do that today. Oh, yes, we do, folks. We don't put our confidence in the flesh from the point of view of circumcision necessarily. But so much of what is driven within the organizational church is totally confidence in the flesh. What do I do? How do I act? How do I behave? How often do I, quote, go to church, unquote? How involved am I in the religious activities, et cetera, et cetera? All works of the flesh if they're not motivated by heart and by the Spirit. And so we are tempted in the same way. Now, verse 4 continues. Paul picks up this whole confidence in the flesh thing, okay? He says, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. He said, no, we don't put our confidence in the flesh. But you know what? If anybody were to put their confidence in the flesh, I could do it. And he continues, if anyone thinks he has a reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. And you know, that phrase is repeated three times in this verse and a half. Confidence in the flesh, confidence in the flesh, confidence in the flesh. And then he describes why. Remember this? Verse 5. He's describing himself. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. So Paul was letting know, he says, hey, I have all the qualification that those who exalt confidence in the flesh are always talking about. I have that. And then verse 7, but whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Well, there we go. And you say, wait a minute, I've heard that verse before. No doubt. But now we understand the context a little better. He says, don't put your confidence in the flesh. Don't put your confidence in that which you've gained or that which you've done, or even in the blessing of the Lord. Don't put your confidence in that. No. He said, whatever I had gained. Okay, now part of the things that he listed up here were things that were outside of his control. Where he was born, okay, tribe of Benjamin. The fact that his mother and father circumcised on the eighth day, that he's the people of Israel. But the other things, the Pharisee, the zealous persecutor of the church, all that, yeah, that was gain. He said, but whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. He said, because of Christ, if I lose that, then hallelujah. I just count it as loss. He continues that idea, verse 8. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. And he's talking about perspective now. Now, it's not necessarily that he had lost everything, but he had lost a lot. He was no longer a Pharisee. He had lost his esteem and his prestige among the Jewish leadership. He was probably the Pharisee that was in the line that was going to be key leadership. He'd lost all that. He had lost other things. He nearly lost his life several times. I dare say that he had lost physical things, okay, because we see him traveling about here and there basically without a home. Okay. And he says, but you know, regardless of what it is, I just count everything as loss. Even the things that he had, he counted them as loss. In other words, God has blessed me with things. He's blessed me with stuff, but it is nothing compared to the worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, of knowing Christ Jesus, the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, as Kyrios, as Lord, not just knowing about him, but knowing the transformation that comes about. Then he continues in verse 8, for his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Now, obviously, we're going through several verses here. Verses 8, let me just see in the new ESV, 8, 9, 10, and 11 are all one verse in the English language. So we stopped halfway through. You see what Paul's saying? He's saying, all this stuff, I just count it as loss. I've suffered the loss of some of it, but it's just rubbish, is the way he describes it. It's nothing. Lexham actually says, I just consider them to be dung. That's the actual term. Paul could be very graphic. And he said, I just count it that way in order that I may gain Christ and that I may be found in him. Found in him how? Found in him having a righteousness that doesn't come from the law. He said, I don't want a righteousness that comes from the law, but it's a righteousness that comes by faith in Christ. It's a righteousness that comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God that depends upon faith, that is basis, that the foundation is faith, not law. Then verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his suffering, becoming like him in death. Let me just finish the sentence. Verse 11, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. So his goal was attaining the resurrection from the dead. It wasn't the type of thing that he was having to work for this and work for this and work for this. No. What he was acknowledging is, hey, this is not going to take place through the law. This comes about by faith. This type of righteousness is only through faith in Jesus Christ. And that in that faith that I will know some things, that I will know him. And folks, this is where we are, and this is where we need to be living day in, day out, moment by moment, that we know him, that we know the power of his resurrection. That is so important. The Most High God dwells within us, within each and every true believer, Father, Son, Spirit. The triune nature of God dwells within us. And the very power that resurrected Jesus from the dead is the power that resides within us and is the power therein with which the Lord is calling us to live. That's what he's saying, that I may know him and that I may know the power of his resurrection, that I may know or share in the fellowship of his suffering, becoming like him in his death. In other words, being conformed to his death, realizing that suffering is a part of this faith and belief. Why all this? In order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Again, not having to do all this to attain to that, but realizing because of who I am in the Lord, that this is how I'm equipped. This is how I am empowered. Folks, we must know him. We must know the power of his resurrection. Don't be surprised, because we will know the fellowship of his suffering. We will be conformed to his death, perhaps physical death itself. Some people say, well, that's not going to happen. It's happening every day around the world, and it's happening more and more in our society, that simply because of faith and proclamation of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that your life will be required of you. And he says, so what? It's all in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Well, I'll tell you what, time is up. We'll pick this up the next time, okay? Again, I'm Dale. I will see you then. Goodbye.